It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to Dwayne's World. Always great to have so many of your calls and your texts coming through. Always great to be able to talk the world game as well with Simon Hill, who's been good enough to join us. Host of the Global Game, which you'll catch tonight from 8 p.m. across the SEN network. And you can catch it on the SEN app. You can download the show anytime you like if you want to have a listen to Simon and the team talk the world game in more depth. But the final round of the A-League season has been a bit of a goal fest, and it's nice to be able to talk in such a positive light about a sport that's heading into its peak period right now, both here and overseas. Morning to you, Simon. Great to have you on.
How are you, Dwayne? You good?
Yeah, I'm good, and it must have been fun for you to call the action on the weekend. I know you love calling it, whether it's nil-nil, but, gee, the scoring was up on the weekend.
Yeah, we had a lot of goals. I think it was the highest scoring round in A-League history. So, there was a fair few goals flying around. I did the Sydney-Perth game on the Sunday, which finished 7-1 to Sydney. I'm not sure Perth enjoyed it, to be honest. But, Sydney FC certainly had a good day in front of goal, and we had 7 goals in the victory Western Sydney Wanderers game. So, yeah, it was a terrific weekend's entertainment and sets us up quite nicely for the finals, which start this weekend.
Any reason why it was such a high score with the shackles off last round of the season? Was there any reason for it?
Well, in some ways, I mean, the Western Sydney Wanderers Melbourne victory game was probably high scoring in part due to the fact that Western Sydney Wanderers had to win. If they didn't win, they were out of finals contention. Now, as it turns out, they've not made the finals anyway, because Melbourne City edged out Western United 24 hours later on the same pitch at Amy Park. But they had to go for it. There was no point in them sitting back trying to play for a draw, which I'm not sure is in their nature anyway, to be fair. The Sydney-Perth game is unfortunately an example of where Perth Glory are at the moment. They've had a horrible end to the season. Copped 8 against Melbourne City a few weeks back, and another 7 against Sydney at the weekend. So that's in part due to the fact that the club's had a pretty tumultuous season off the pitch. You know, no owners for 3/4 of it. And then a new owner came in right at the end of the season. And obviously there's a lot of disruption at the club. So there's a few different reasons, but it made for good entertainment for fans and neutrals alike.
And there's one game left in the home and away season to go tomorrow night. And then you've got some pretty mouth-watering matchups coming up the weekend after.
Yeah, we've got one game of the regular season left, which is a crucial one. It's Central Coast Mariners against Adelaide United tomorrow night in Gosford. That will decide the destiny of the Premiership. The Mariners needing just a point after they won the F3 Derby against Newcastle by 3-1 at the weekend. So that should be quite the party in Gosford tomorrow. They will expect to get that point. And, of course, that then gives them pole position going into the finals. The Mariners and Wellington, who will finish in the top two, get the week off in week one. So we've got the elimination finals. We've got Sydney FC against MacArthur on Saturday. And then Sunday, late afternoon, it's the Melbourne Derby at Amy Park. Victory against City, which is always a tasty fixture, particularly in the finals. And that one really could go either way because it is a derby. So, yeah, it should be a cracking weekend. We've got the A-League Women's Grand Final as well, Sydney FC and Melbourne City. That game is at Amy Park on Saturday. So a massive weekend in Melbourne in particular.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And obviously you'll be looking overseas as well because your team's looking okay. It's a race in two.
Yeah, there's just a few games to go. City and Arsenal have been neck and neck for quite some time now. Liverpool have been the third part of that of the championship chasing trio, but they've had a horrible couple of weeks and looks as though they're very much the rank outsiders now. So it's probably going to be either Arsenal or City. Arsenal top by a point. But City have a game in hand, which could be crucial. They've both got one in my opinion, very tough games still to play. Arsenal have got Manchester United away at Old Trafford. We know United have been inconsistent this season, but they are capable of giving the big teams a bloody nose on their day. And City have got to go to Tottenham, which is a venue where we don't have an awful lot of joy. So, the title could be decided on the results of those two games.
And just to clarify it for everyone who doesn't know, the last game, I think West Ham and Man City and Arsenal, Everton are played at the same time?
Yeah, they play the final day of the season with simultaneous kickoffs, which I think is a terrific idea because obviously it then prevents any sort of collusion or accusations in this litigious world. But, you know, clubs have thrown games or they know what they need to do so they don't bother turning up or they go for it, whatever the case may be. So City against West Ham and Arsenal playing Everton. So given how tight it is, I'm sure there might be something still riding on it. So going into the final day, same at the bottom, of course, with the relegation scrap as well.
And one last question. Can I ask you a tactical question as to do the way of playing the world game is that, from my untrained eye, is filtering into the AFL, and that is getting a lot of players back, making sure everyone defends, and then sweeping forward in one big quick wave. Now, I presume you've got different ways of playing and different teams and different managers do different things, but on the most part, is that generally the way that most teams like to play?
I wouldn't say most, but the football in the modern era has evolved into a game of what we call transition. Quick transition, which means that you can defend in a block. A fair few teams do this. Not all teams do it, but certainly the ones, for example, at the bottom of the Premier League, when they're up against a top team, they will set their stall out to frustrate the other team, to negate the amount of chances that the superior team, if you like, is going to be able to create, and then try and hit on the break in transition, as we call it, with quick players, particularly wingers, that can use their pace to get in behind a defence of a team that is set up more to attack. So, yeah, that's essentially the gist of it. As I say, not every team plays that way. Manchester City, for example, they play a possession-based game where they try and move teams around defensively and probe for gaps, look for space, which is very difficult in modern football, particularly at the elite level. And teams who play against City are more likely, it's not always the case, but are more likely to play a transitional game and try and catch them on the break.
And what percentage roughly, or most, well, I shouldn't say most, but are a lot of goals scored on that turnover by folding, holding your players all the way back, deep in defence, and then scoring on them quickly when you get the ball turned over, getting them into an unset defence?
Yeah, I mean, there's a fair few goals scored that way. Obviously, a lot of goals are also scored via set pieces, free kicks, corners, which is another way, you know, that teams down at the bottom, when they're playing against teams that are probably technically superior, have better players than them, they will look to profit from set pieces. Some of them have big, tall, strong central defenders or strikers that will come up for set pieces and try and win balls in the air, either from free kicks or corners. Obviously, you know, there's a myriad of different ways in which you can score goals. But as a rule of thumb, they can be, you know, some of the main ways for teams that are not necessarily challenging at the top.
Yeah, interesting stuff, because we're getting a lot of that breakdown of goals from back half and goals from set play, that comparison as well in our game at the moment. And a lot of coaches want to play that quick break footy when it comes all the way from your defence, almost getting every player back now. The Orange Tsunami, as we call it, with the Giants, who is a Sydney-based team, and obviously Geelong doing it at the moment as well. So it's good to pick your brain on it. Simon, great to have you. We'll be hearing more of you on the Global Game tonight from 8. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Swan. All the best.
Simon Hill, host of the Global Game. You can catch it across the SEN network and on the SEN app.